just love the way God brings everything together. So I'm going to invite you to play a game this morning. You can't think we might have been you, Faith, talking about lies and believing lies. I want you to play a game called Spot the Lie. So when our kids were little or younger, I used to play Spot the Lie when the adverts were on the television. You know, those lies that say you'll be successful, popular, beautiful, if you have, do, whatever. So I used to train them to look for the lies. But of course, there are so many lies, and there are lies in my life too. So please join with me, spot the lies in what I'm about to say. And this is my story, you know, part of my story. Nadia has been asking me to speak here for years. And for years, I've said no. Now, to start with, that was because I was working at the hospital and I had lots of things to do and think about, and I hadn't got any spare headspace. And then, of course, at the hospital, I only have to speak for 3 minutes. I had to learn how to give a word that had significance and meaning in 3 minutes. Well, I can do that, but if I stood here and spoke for 3 minutes and put the microphone down, you'd go, and? Because the real reason was that I didn't think I was good enough. Now, with my head, I know that's crazy. I've been preaching for over 30 years. And the fact that I know it's crazy in my head doesn't mean to say that I know it in my heart. Because, I mean, Thelma's so good. I mean, we bought tapes. We paid for tapes of Thelma Sparks speaking donkey's years ago. Truly, truly. CDs in those days, you know. And Nadia, you're always so on fire. I couldn't do that stuff. You're so focused on Jesus, so tuned in. And Karen, I think your sermons are stonking. Yes, they are so challenging. And she's not here to hear that, but she wouldn't want to hear it anyway. But they are so practical and so challenging. And there's Claire with her wisdom and her pictures and her prose and now talks. And then there's all the prophets in this place. You know, Jenny with her art and Lorraine and Faith. And there isn't a person in this community who isn't gifted, talented, amazing, stonking stuff. And I am just me. Okay. Spot the lie. I am just me who happens to be an Anglican clergy person. And in those circles... There's a few more lies coming up. In those circles, my sermons are well received, but, you know, maybe they expect less of their preachers in the Anglican Church. Don't expect very much. I know. I know. And there's an old Anglican saying, if you haven't struck oil in 10 minutes, stop boring. And as I say, you know, I'd got my sermons down to 3 minutes. And, you know, you can have an hour here. And I'm so pleased that God filled up some of that time. And I don't have to speak for an hour. Because, it's the approach to preaching here is different as well. In the Anglican Church, you get set readings every Sunday. And sometimes that can be a real challenge. And you look at it and think, what? But then you actually have to grapple with the scriptures. And you don't have to. You don't just get to choose the ones that you like. So there is a real discipline in there, but it's a different way of thinking and a different way of approaching. So I'm thinking, I do it differently. I can't do it here. So there's another lie. Yeah, I am. And to be fair, up to then, God hadn't given me anything to say, and nobody wants to spend time listening to somebody who hasn't got anything to say.
Now that's the truth.
That is the truth. So if you haven't realised it yet, God has a great sense of humour. So I'm standing here with a microphone in my hand because of this little sequence of events. Richard and I are doing a retreat in daily life for nearly a year, and we've committed to spend time in prayer, engaging with the scriptures every day. And one day I went to my prayer place and I tried to pray, and it wasn't happening. It was impossible. I was all over the place with distraction, thinking about anything other than God. And eventually I thought, I give up. I'm going to walk the dogs. So I took the dogs out and we're walking through the woods and I'm thinking to myself, well, it's okay to have dry times. You know, not every prayer time is going to sparkle. That's all right. Don't beat yourself up. And I thought, I need to remember what I've learnt so far on this retreat. And what came to mind was that prayer is often not about us finding God and what we do, but it's about God finding us. Because whenever we turn up to pray or worship, he's always there and he's always well pleased to see us and he's always, you know, whoopee, you're here. So I just prayed as I walked through the woods, God, I want to be found by you. And please remove any blockage in me that stops me from being found by you. So 6 paces later, I've got the beginning of this sermon and this talk and this down, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. So I knew I had to go to Nadia and say, I've got to talk, Nadia. And Nadia said, that's great. The rota's full. So that's fine. I don't mind that. It's, you know, we can put that away. Not a problem. 14th of April, she told me. So that's miles away. And then we opened the rota last weekend and Richard said, you're preaching next week. Great stuff. Actually, I like a deadline. It's good for me. It focuses the mind. So I'm hoping that everybody has spotted some lies. Now, I can see them, but it doesn't make them go away. Because in my head, I know one thing, but then I carry on believing the lies. Now, I don't consciously choose to do that. I just find they're buried very deep within there. And, you know, as I think it might have been Faith or somebody said this morning, Jesus had to be the centre, not deception. And you can remember parts of Scripture and not all of it, can't you? So Romans 12 says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. So I can hear that quite loud. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, Jane. And there are life experiences that have reinforced that when I've thought, oh, I could do that. And it's been me and not God. And fortunately, God has actually saved me from making an idiot of myself too often and closed a lot of those doors. But that, of course, reinforces the don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Now, that is Scripture, that verse, and it's true. But it's only part of Scripture, and it's only part of that chapter. Because a few verses later, it says everyone has a gift. Each one of us has a gift, and we all need to offer our specific gifts cheerfully and in faith. You know, if you're going to make coffee, do it cheerfully. If you encourage, do that thing. If your gift is to show mercy, do that cheerfully too. And some of us will find that easy to believe, and others will hear that we just shouldn't be overconfident. Pride comes before a fall. So, you know, what are you thinking? What are you believing? Because when I stop and think about it, this insignificance, lack of confidence, is actually quite widespread. And even among this talented group of people, I'd venture to say it's not that far away. When I was about to be ordained, you get to go to see the bishop, or the bishop calls you in and for a chat. And so I get to go and see the Bishop of Hartford. No, St. Albans. Anyway, lovely man. So one of the questions he asked me, he says, Jane, you've been listening to people for a long time. Is there a common thread in what you've heard? So I thought for a minute and I said, lack of self-worth. And he said, yeah, I'd agree with you. And we had a conversation that went on from there. So it's around. It's not just me and it won't just be you. We all probably feel it from time to time, and that actually is okay. It's what we do with it that's the thing. You know, is it going to stop me doing what God wants, or is it going to make me dependent on him? I have a choice. So, you know, here I am, I've got the beginning of this talk, and I kind of thought I knew where God wanted to go, and then Neil comes along and preaches my sermon. And then Nadia says things like, there's no condemnation from God, but we beat ourselves up. And Katie says, our failure is actually success. So, you know, I got a choice. Do I sit down and shut up because it's all been said? Or do I think, well, this is God's obviously speaking to us about this at the moment. So, please, God, what do you want to say through me? Because humility, as Neil said, is not knowing, thinking that you're a lowly worm, but knowing who you are in God and knowing that he made you who you are, made you delightful, made you his joy, gazes over you in love and adoration. That's what you said. And insignificance is sin. And it's sin because it puts me at the center or you at the center. We end up saying, I can't. I won't. I'm not good enough. And that's true. So get used to it. I'm not good enough. I can't. But God is, and God does, and God is enough for everything we need to do, even the new. So God can call us back to him to know our need of him through our insignificance and our lack of self-worth. You just have to spot it. And you have to spot the lie, and you have to get used to spotting the lies quickly. Otherwise, you end up going down a blind alley. So this morning, I invite you to ask him what lies live in your head and your heart. The other week, I was thinking about the story of Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus up a tree and trying to see Jesus, and Jesus says to him, come down, I must go to your house. I want to stay in your house. So imagine he says that to you, Chris, I want to stay in your house. Keith, I want to stay in your house. Jane, Claire, I want to stay in your house. Imagine that's not your physical bricks and mortar, but your inner being. Right inside. What would he find? How would you feel about him seeing all your stuff? Now, I don't know what's like in your house, but a lot of us, Richard and I anyway, tend to sit in the same chairs. And there might be a real comfy chair in your inside house, one that's been there for years and years and years and years and years, and it's the place you go when you always want to curl up and be comfortable, when you feel tired or battered, and it's been around so long you can't remember life without it. But God might reveal to you that that comfy place, that chair, is actually a lie. And it's been in your life for as long as you can remember. It's so familiar that you believe it's truth. And it might be uncomfortable to have God to reveal to us that it's false and that I need to get rid of my comfy chair. But God wants us to be free. He wants us to grow into the people he made us to be. And so I might be anxious about what I'm going to sit on instead. What else will be as comforting? But what God has is always a million times better. And it's better than any deception from the enemy. So it might not be something old and comfy that God highlights for you. It might be the shiny new kit in the corner. That's fantastic. But he might say, do you know, that's a distraction. And there might be piles of broken stuff in your life, in your house, which are cluttering up your life. But actually God says, that's the precious bit. That's when you depended on me. That's where I can shine through. So we might throw out the wrong things if we don't ask him. So maybe you can invite him to show you what lies are cluttering up your life. Because this is really important. It affects his kingdom. Because if we believe all this old messages, all these lies, even if we believe a few of them, we won't be willing or able to step out into the new that he wants for us. Lies need to be countered by truth. God loves you more passionately than you love the person you love most. I'll say that again. God loves you more passionately than you love the person you love most. And God draws us into receiving his overwhelming love bit by bit. You know, if Richard had said the first day we met, would you marry me? We wouldn't be married now. I'd have run a mile. I nearly did anyway. But I'm so glad I didn't. No, I'm so glad I didn't. But we would freak out. So God is gracious and allows us to trust him bit by bit. Because we struggle with trust. You know, kids are born trusting. And they trust everyone. And we learn to be cautious. We learn that not everyone can be trusted. And as we come to God in worship, sometimes something changes instantly, but sometimes it just takes a while. The 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus, they called out to him and said, "Can you heal me?" And they were healed as they walked along. So it's in our daily lives, in the nitty-gritty. It's, my goodness me, Lorraine, that was some challenge, but it's in that getting down on your knees when you really don't want to, that we are, you're walking around probably helped you to get the grace and the courage to do what you had to do. It's as we walk it out. Trusting God for each step, not knowing what lies ahead, but knowing that God wants the best for us. Knowing that even in difficult times, God will produce fruit. Perhaps especially in the difficult times, God produces fruit. Even if we feel we're hanging on by our fingertips or feel that God's gone to talk to somebody else and has forgotten me, it happens, doesn't it? We can feel inadequate, insignificant, or whatever word you want to use, but it's not what God wants for us. It can be a gift and it can bring us back. So I just encourage you to keep playing spot the lie, because we do have that choice. We can always go back to Jesus and say, "I can't, but with you I can." And the enemy will keep reminding us that we can't. So we need to keep spotting the lie, because compared to to Jesus, the enemy is weak. So in the Anglican world, this is the first Sunday in Lent. And in Lent, we often think about giving things up. So I don't know what you're thinking about giving up this year, if anything, but not chocolate or coffee, that's too easy. How about giving up self-criticism, self-condemnation, and unworthiness? How about giving those up for Lent? Lent is about a time to draw closer to God and allowing ourselves to be found more. Any parent, any of us as parents, would be grieved if our children were saying, "Well, I'm not worth anything." It would really hurt. So we grieve God when we believe all these lies. And as sometimes in Lent, as well as giving things up, many of us take things up. So some of us are doing a Lent course. But how about taking up knowing who you really are in God? Feeding on the truth. The truth that God is always with us. That nothing can separate us from his love. That there is no condemnation. That there is nowhere on earth or in our heads or our hearts, nowhere in the past that he can't reach us. That we are free from comparison. That we are unashamed. That I'm grateful that we are enough just as we are. That we are a blessing. That we are strong. So many things. There is no darkness, no black hole so deep that his love can't shine. That he's calling your name even when you can't see him. These are the truths we need to feed on. And for some reason, sometimes we seem to starve ourselves of things that are life-giving. So I invite you to speak truths over yourself every day. Richard will give you a letter at the back, which is a letter to you from God. And also on the back of that is a list of I am, who I am in Christ, that Bruce did years and years ago, did a little bookmark. So that's on the back as well. So if we were to start saying these over ourselves every day, some of them will be easy. And some of them will crunch and we'll go, "Oh, I don't really believe that." So that's a moment to say, "Holy Spirit, please help. Help me believe. Help me spot the lies. Because as a man believes in his heart, so he is. And what we focus on, we empower." So let's empower the truth and not empower the lies. So we don't need to focus on the lies. We need to focus on the truth. Many of us who are parents or grandparents will have read the story of the very, very hungry caterpillar. I saw a most amazing video a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and it was one of these fast-forward things of an egg and a caterpillar turning into a Chinese lunar moth. And it was awesome. Because this little egg, this little caterpillar, when it came out, ate everything in sight. And it got bigger. And it grew so big, it had to shed a skin. And it was a real struggle to get out of this skin. It had to work at it to let go of all the stuff that had been good enough in the past that wasn't for now. And then it munched through more. And it got bigger. So it's feeding on the good. And it's getting bigger. And then it had to wriggle out of the next skin. And it really, you know, if I was a caterpillar, I might have sat there and said, oh, it's too uncomfortable, I'm going to stay as I am. But you can't. If you're feeding on the good and you're growing, you can't stay as you are. You have to wriggle out of the next skin that's been your home, that's been comfortable. You have to let go. And it was hard work. And of course, eventually it turned into this amazingly beautiful moth. So we need to feed on him, feast on him. And I'm inviting you just going to do that every day. But there's lots of different ways that we could be caterpillars and feed. You know, we feed on his word. We feed when we come together to worship. And we feed when we walk around and look at all the spring bulbs and, you know, the beautiful kites flying around, or, you know, nature and all that God does. And we feed when we come into contact with each other, too. You know, we get food from our conversation with each other, because we all have different insights and we all have different parts of the journey, and together we make up a great fruit bowl. So if God made you to be a plum, be the best plum you can be. Don't try and be a banana. You know, I wasn't made to be Nadia. I was made to be Jane. And it, as Paul Hopkins said the other week, if you don't have comparison, you don't have insignificance. So we can support each other as we struggle to be the best pineapple, grape, orange, whatever it happens to be, because we can see the lies for ourselves and in each other, not in a critical way, but in a way that encourages growth. I notice that God really uses you in that. Have you noticed? That's a great banana, that is. Whatever. What we focus on, we empower. And there have been lots of words for a while now about being new, this being a new time. It's been confirmed again this morning. So if we are going to move into a new thing and a new time, and we'll have to get rid of that skin. We will. And we'll have to do it together. We'll have to move together. And we all need to be prepared. We all need to be prepared to do what God wants us to do. And we all have different gifts, and we all have different things that he's going to ask us to do. Please, God, he won't ask me to kneel on somebody's floor. You know, it won't be the same for everybody. But if we don't look at this stuff, if we don't believe what the Bible says about us in terms of how precious we are, how astonishingly loved we are, how amazing God made us. No, that's not us, that's you. How amazing God made you and me to be. We will be held back, and it'll be do you remember the sack races when you were a kid? So you've got your feet in this little sack and you're trying to run as fast as you can, but mostly you fall over. So we need to take our sacks off, set ourselves free. Whatever limits us, we need to get rid of. Not just because it's more comfortable, because it's important to God and his kingdom and his purposes. We have to say yes, whether we want to or not. Because God will come and get us. You know, think back to the beginning of my story. I'm busy saying no. And God comes to get us. So, you know, we may as well give in quicker. True humility is not beating ourselves up. It's knowing our need for God, becoming more dependent on him, and realizing that we're nothing in our own strength, and being okay with that. We need to get rid of the I in the middle, the I can't, I won't, I'm too shy, or whatever. Put God where he belongs, in the middle. God can, God will, and with his strength, we will. So I think it was you again, Faith, talking about something in the center, God being in the center. Somebody was talking about something. It was Lizzie. God being in the center this morning. that's what we need to be. And I believe, I mean, you saw angels around us. I saw angels swirling. As we take these baby steps, they will be energized. Yeah. So baby steps are okay. Just go be a banana.